Amen. Just to let you know how it works, I've been, actually since the first day I got saved, this is a long time, and I've been with Pastor Bronk since the first day I got saved over 29 or 30 years ago. That's 30 years under with him. That's a long time, man. And it just seems like yesterday. I've learned from Pastor Dave, from Pastor Bronk, you just never impose yourself. We impose on anybody to preach the gospel. You just don't do that. I just think it's very improper to impose, like, hey, Pastor, let me preach. That's never been my disposition. But the day when I talked to him, and I didn't get the hint that he was worn down or stressed out. To be on the honest side, I believe he could have easily preached tonight because that's his life. This is his life. And I just said, well, you know what, Pastor Bronk? Wednesday's usually a recovery day for me because of Tuesdays. But I woke up real energized real early this morning. Coffee had a lot to do with it. Actually, I've been on coffee all day long, so I've been in the Word all day. Literally, since 5:30 in the morning till an hour ago, about 11 hours of the Word. Yes, I'm hungry for God, but that organic coffee had a lot to do with it. But I never impose. But I did when I offered. I said, Pastor Bronk, I said, this man's, he's done a lot this week. And I didn't even say it on the phone. I texted. I said, Pastor Bronk, you know, I'm your associate. I'm not verbatim. I'm always ready with the Word, man. And I knew, he didn't text back right away, but I knew that I was going to preach today without even talking to him yet. And I began in my spirit to prepare what I was going to. But then he called me and said, you know what? Go ahead. And I knew, I think that's the way it worked, right? Something like that. And I knew it. I was going to preach the gospel. I knew it. Via spirit, I just knew that I was. And really, I just knew that I was. I knew that he was a busy man this week. I knew that for a fact. But beginning, let me reiterate. I know he's more than capable, easily. Even if he wouldn't have prayed all day today, he could have easily come up here and shared the gospel of the kingdom. I know he could have, and you know he could have too. But I'm here today. My wife's not here. She had to go pick up her sister at the airport. The sister coming down from South Carolina. But I've been in the Gospels for a couple of weeks, in the Book of Timothy yesterday. And just real quick, allow me for about a minute or two. There's a mountain, two mountains that I will die on. There's two swords that I will fall on. And that's, you can't take that Jesus is the Christ for me. I don't care how well of a debater you are, or even if I'm facing martyrdom, I think this is a mountain that I will die on. You can't take that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and you can't take that he is a miracle worker. Look, when you got a gun to your head, point blank to your head, the bullet goes off point blank and the bullet misses your temple and leaves a track in back of your head where the bullet shaved the back of your head and shatters a window in your life, you can't take that Jesus is the Christ for me. You can't take that he's a miracle worker. You can't take that from me. That's one mountain that I will die on. I will die and I will fall on that sword. Another mountain that I'll die on, you can't take from me, that praying in the Spirit, fasting, beholding God's Word and worshiping God, you can't take, I will die on that mountain, I will fall on that sword, that's the only way to know the true Savior. You can't take that from me. I don't care if I fall short in my walk, which I'm not going to, I will die on that mountain. Praying in tongues, praying in English, I don't pray in Spanish much, fasting and beholding God's word and worshiping God along with confession, I will die on that mountain. I will fall on that sword. I will. The way Pastor Dave taught us to meditate the scriptures, to me, in my opinion, there's no other way. In my opinion. it's just no matter. There's just no other way to me. I hear other preachers on occasion. I hear one guy that I hear because he has awesome testimonies. I don't hear anybody, listen to me, for doctrine, which is under their ministry. I have the Holy Ghost other than Pastor Bronk. Or I hear Gary Carpenter, Barry Johnson, Jim Martin. There's other guys that I hear, but I don't hear them for doctrine. I hear one guy because he has powerful testimonies, and I love hearing his testimonies. But when you learn what praying in the Holy Ghost does for you, when you learn what fasting does and what meditation of God's word, I don't need to look anywhere else. He is my sufficiency. So I hear this guy because he has, and I don't hear much. I hear him when I go to dialysis because you're there for 4 or 5 hours. You better hear something because you're sitting on your keister for 4 or 5 hours, man, stretching here, stretching there. And for some reason, I can get to him quick on YouTube without any assistance. I can't, for some reason, I can go to him and hear his messages or his testimonies and I can hear him. And he said something so interesting the other day. And he was quoting John G. Lake. He was saying that John G. Lake, the great John G. Lake, he has, I don't know how many risen from the dead, Pastor, do you remember? Several, but he's just incredible. And he was quoting John G. Lake, and he said that John G. Lake said that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was a Supreme Court of the Bible. And I found that interesting, and I liked what he said. Now, we know that 5, 6, 7 is rich in word, but it's not everything. We know there's a lot more in the epistles, but we know they're all derived from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I called Pastor Bronk and asked Pastor Bronk just to tell him that he couldn't go to my son's graduation because there's 530 people going to be there and they only gave away 4 tickets. And I got 6 kids and me and my wife, that's 8. So 4 of my kids aren't going to be able to go to graduation. Me and my wife and 2 of them are. They're working that out amongst themselves. So, but he said, then I called Pastor Bronk, what do you think about this, Pastor Bronk? Now that I got you on the phone, what do you think about this? This guy that said that, he said that John G. Lake said that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 were the Supreme Court of the Bible. And then I remembered when Pastor mentioned something that he said months ago, and Pastor Bronk said something sort of similar. He said, to him, Matthew 5, 6, 7 were the Constitution of the Bible. And I felt good after that. Okay, I don't feel that dumb anymore because that makes a lot of sense. And I've been in the Gospels, and I've been in Matthew 5, 6. Today I probably went through each chapter like 10 times, just boom, tongues here, tongues here, tongues here, tongues here. Call my wife, what's this mean in the Greek? And she texts it back to me, and I just was in it all day. That organic coffee is a real deal. Amazon, $28 for 10 packs. It's good stuff, man. Oh, my God. I still ain't sleepy. So I don't know if I'll do that again tomorrow, but, oh, man, I'm a little wired up. I ain't lying. I'll tell you exactly 22 ounces of coffee today. No, 10, no, 20 ounces. That's still a lot. Oh, man, Mufasa. Oh, man. Oh, so I'm still, but really, that's 11 hours in God's word. Yes, I'm hungry, but whoo, man, that was my default today of the caffeine. So I'm still going strong. I don't know if I will get sleep tonight. But I've been in the Gospels. We're going to name this dear Sarah, by the way. Don't forget to, at 8:15, you know what to do, right? 8:15, say homework. It's 8:15. That way I know to shut it down. So I've been in the Gospels, and we're going to name this teaching, Gospel of the Kingdom, in parentheses, Follow Me. Follow Me is going to be the name of it. Paraphrasing in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said this, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of what? Men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately after saying that, he spoke that to two sets of brothers, to Andrew and Simon Peter. Then he spoke the same words to James and John. That's Matthew chapter 4. He said, follow me, Andrew and Simon Peter. Went a little further and said, follow me, James and John, and I will make you fishers of men. Not verbatim, paraphrasing. In the same day, probably, I can't prove this, probably in the same hour or two, he says, follow me. That within the same time frame, it seems like the imagery, and according to the context, it seems like they were within maybe an hour or two of him saying that to each set of brothers. Then he said, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Then immediately after he spoke that to the second set of brothers, he said, or the writer said, and he went about all Galilee preaching and teaching the gospel of the what? Of the kingdom, right? That's what he said? No, he didn't. He said, he went about, he told his brothers, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow me. And a little bit after that, it was said that he went about all Galilee preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease. Are you with me? He didn't say, follow me and you'll hear me preach. Follow me and you'll hear me teach. Follow me and you'll hear me preach, teach, and heal all manner of sickness and disease. So they followed him and beheld, they heard his teachings and they saw his miracles. How many know the kingdom of God is seeing and hearing? So as they followed him, they saw miracles and they heard the words of the kingdom. How the church can conclude that miracles are not part of the gospel of the kingdom is 1,000% heresy. I don't see how somebody could say God heals some and heals not others. It's at his will. That is heresy. Let's not compromise and change the gospel because we pray for people and they aren't healed. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. How? You're going to hear me preach, teach, and heal. Follow me. I want you to do the same exact thing. Follow me in my humanity, because I couldn't follow him if he did that as deity. I couldn't follow him. But I could follow him in his humanity because he taught, he preached, and he healed all manner of sickness and disease. He's saying, Family Prayer Center, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow you to what example? Hear me preach, hear me teach, and hear me raise the dead, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, and to the poor the gospel is preached. That is the kingdom of God, my friends. Don't cut it short. Do not cut it short. Follow me, Sarah. Follow me, Marty. Follow me, Gay, and I'll make you a fisher of men. How? You follow my lifestyle. I taught, I preached, and I healed. You're going to do the same thing if you follow me, if you follow my doctrine, if you keep my sayings. John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to be with my Father. The Father that was in him, via Holy Ghost, is going to be in you. And you're going to do the same exact thing. That is the gospel of the kingdom, or that is revival, my friends. That is revival. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. How? By programs? No. Preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease. That is the full gospel message that is not taught. It's not even talked about. It is here. It is here and then some. So going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 today, about 10 times each chapter, just, and I am not a very, but I'm not going to put myself down. I'm not an educated person. Let me say that. But I have common sense, and I did stay in hardly any express today and prayed in tongues. So I pray in tongues a lot. No, I didn't stay there. Let me just being sarcastic. And I've heard Matthew 5, 6, and 7 through Gary Carpenter. He did a series on that, which was absolutely exceptional. I'm sure you would agree with me. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. I'm not really going to teach Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I'm just going to talk about it a little bit. Because it is the Supreme Court of the Scriptures. It is the Constitution, as Pastor said. It be his opinion. We know there's the Matthew 5, 6, 7 doesn't talk about praying. It talks about prayer. It's not specific on praying in tongues. But we know it's vital to our walk with Christ. And I just beheld it. I didn't even try to study it. I just went through it, just painting the picture in my heart. I don't ever want us to make the mistake that just because we hear Pastor Dave's teachings and remember them, that means that we know them. Just because you can remember what Pastor Dave says means you got a decent mind. We're to be conformed to that message. I believe people make the mistake, well, I heard this message. Just because you can repeat it doesn't mean you know it. Doesn't mean it's abundant in you. It's abundant in you when it works in you. So I just went through 5, 6, 7 over and over and over and over and over again. And I'll say this real quick, and then I'm going to get on with the lesson. A day or two ago, something happened to me. It wasn't pleasant. And I didn't tell nobody about it, my wife or nobody. It would have took my peace before. And this is transformation. I used to think that I behold the Scriptures, and when offense comes, if I quote the Scripture, I'll keep myself from being offended. And that's partially true. But transformation is this. If you don't have a quiet time, if you don't have your own Olivet, your own mountain, the Bible says in Luke that Jesus, in the daytime, he was in the synagogue, but at night, he was on the mount called Olivet. He was praying on Mount Olivet, my friends. If you don't have your own personal Olivet, you're going to live an offended life. Yes. You're going to live a defeated life. You're going to live a life consistently offended and in mental torment because you don't have a personal Mount Olivet. You got to have that place. You got to have it, man. Yes. So, in 5, verse 2, and at the end of 7, in verse 5, in chapter 5, he says, and he opened his mouth saying this, saying. He ended the teaching on the mount by whosoever keepeth my sayings. So from the beginning of 5 to the end of 7, he closes with the same word, saying in chapter 5, saying in chapter 7. So his sayings are between what? 5 and 7. So between chapter 5 and 7 are his sayings that we are to keep. You with me? So he says this, and let me tell you something, my friends. The kingdom of God via born again is far more, man, than overcoming adultery and fornication and being a drunk and looking at a computer and being, it is far, far. That's born again, man. And I'm with you. I'm sitting with you in the crowd. I'm a work in progress, just like you are. But let me tell you, there's more to it than anger and mental anguish, man. That's, you've been born again. Let's progress to maturity, to patience, to endurance, to not being offended. My wife is my hero, man. There's some good news coming in days to come about her. Oh. Hallelujah. Not yet, but coming. Why I'll die on the mountain of praying in tongues, fasting in the Word of God, because my wife going through what she's been going through, and me just saying this to teach you, being blind, and according to the doctor, blind, and kidneys that are shot, I should be in torment. But blindness and kidney failure does not have me. It does not have me. God has me. They don't own me. They could own me. They could put me in a place of offense, in a place of depression, in a place of not wanting to come to church because of what I'm going through. No, that does not exist in my being, man. Why? Because I fast, I pray, I read the Bible, and I worship Jesus. I will die on this mountain. I should be in torment right now. I should be in absolute torment, but not even close to being in torment. Not even close. I wake up every morning, every single morning. I don't have days that I don't want to pray. Those days don't exist in my life. My life's Him. There's days that I have where I need to go to the living room with my family. There's not days where, oh, it's going to be a drag today. No, man. Those days are gone. There's days now that I don't want to come up my fast. I didn't know those days existed. But there's peace in my life. There's peace in my life like never before. What my wife's been going through, my mother-in-law's in dialysis. She's 88 years old. What I'm going through, my wife never, ever, ever, ever complains. Goes to the gym, lifts weights, cooks for her husband, comes to church, spends time with her husband, plays with her grandkids. Every single night she goes to bed reading her Bible and praying, or hearing Dave Roberson every single night, never complains. We're going on 5 or 6 hours sleep. I don't know how she does it. And I don't demand her to cook. I could eat a salad or a sandwich every night. I'm not that kind of husband. I used to be. Not anymore. So we will die on this mountain of praying in tongues, fasting, beholding God's word, and worshiping Jesus. Thank God that I'm taught what I'm taught, first of all by the Holy Ghost, and second of all by Pastor Bronk. Thank God. So I've been beholding the Beatitudes, beholding them, not studying them. I go to the Greek every once in a while. And his sayings are between chapter 5 and the end of chapter 7. All his sayings are there. And he said this. He said, blessed are the poor, starting in chapter 5, verse 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You probably know this, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Last one. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. Yeah. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, Sarah, for my sake, falsely. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, Sarah, for great is your reward in heaven. The Beatitudes. And I heard Gary's teaching flat out incredible, and I can't add nothing to it. And there's not a but behind it. But there is simplicity behind it. Because I wanted to hear his teachings again on Sermon on the Mount, but I'm by myself at the house, so nobody can turn on the email for me to play him. So I said, Lord, and I really felt God trying to teach me something. I wanted to remember all the references that Gary had on poor in spirit, on merciful, on pure. He referenced Old Covenant and New Covenant, awesome references. And I said, Lord, but there's something that I'm not seeing here. And I would quote the Beatitudes over and over again. And friends, I don't try to impress you by quoting scripture. I just hear them so much that it's like a soul. I'm like a sponge. You're just sucking up water. I don't sit there and try to memorize scripture. You just go over them so much that they just stay with you. They just stay with you. I don't have a very high IQ, but when you do something long enough, it's going to stay with you. So I do have a lot of, I have some of the books memorized, and not because it sounds impressive, because you spend hours a day in God's word, it's going to stick with you, man. So I would go, behold the Beatitudes, and I would just go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 over and over again. I said, Lord, Gary did such an awesome job, Lord, and I want to hear his teachings again. And I felt, I didn't know what it was, but I felt the Holy Ghost tugging on me, saying, it's right there. And I couldn't quite, not in those words, but you just felt a witness inside of you that there was something in 5, 6, and 7 homework that you're not seeing or that you're not comprehending. So then I kept going through it. Then I realized, when I quoted the Beatitudes to you, I quoted, blessed are the poor in spirit, all the way to, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you. I quoted 8 Beatitudes, and it dawned on me, and I called Pastor Brown today to get a witness. It dawned on me that if I go through Matthew 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, if the striving of my heart is to keep those 3 chapters, then that in alone fulfills being poor in spirit, being merciful. If I can keep the rest of 5, 6, and 7, somehow, some way, the Beatitudes are fulfilled in my life. Are you with me? So if I can keep Matthew 5, 6, 7 to an extent, I know it's outside of that also, but if I can keep, if the striving of my heart is to behold that portion of scripture, I'm walking in the Beatitudes. And if I'm walking in the Beatitudes, being merciful, being pure in heart, my eye is single, man. My eye is good. Because I wake up every morning to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me tell you one thing. If you wake up to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, you fulfill the Beatitudes, especially 5, 6, 7. If you can keep, the striving of your heart is to keep 5, 6, and 7 along with all the portions of scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But that in itself, you'll fulfill the Beatitudes, because somehow mercy is in 5, 6, and 7. Somehow pure in heart is in 5, 6, and 7. Somehow poor in spirit is in 5, 6, and 7. If your heart strives for Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you're fulfilling the Beatitudes, my friend. This walk with God is far more than a struggle, man. It's far more than gossip. It's far more than malice. It's far more than mental anguish. It's far more than self-centeredness. Man, we got to go into maturity and to patience and endurance, man. Are you with me? So I say that to say this. Now, I'm with you. I'm growing. I'm a work in progress. Now, I've learned this from God the Father. Just because you think, I've learned this from Pastor Bronk. Because you think you know something about somebody, you better be sure if you tell them that God's telling you to tell them. Because there's some ignorant stuff said out there, man. And I've made them mistakes in my life. Because you, even if you know something about somebody, it doesn't mean you always tell them. You better know God is telling you to tell them. And don't insinuate, don't think that you know, I'm going to tell you what I think I know. That leads to problems. Big, shut your mouth. Let me say it in love. Just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. I've made that mistake in the past. I haven't been making it in years, but I've made that mistake where you thought you knew something. If I know something, then I'm going to tell him. I felt I was God's hitman for a while. And if I felt that I knew it, even not knowing that I did know it, I'd tell him anyway and hurt feelings. That's wrong. You can hurt people by that. Just be quiet. If you got questions, call Pastor Bronk. Share your heart with him. If you can't get a hold of him, I'll be more than happy to help you. He should be your very first outlet to talk to. He should be first and foremost. If you can't get a hold of him, I'll gladly work with you. If I can't help you, I'll refer you back to him. Leave him a voicemail. My first outlet, my first level of wisdom is Pastor Bronk, then Gary or Barry. That's the way. If I got a question, it's him first. If he don't pick up, then it's Gary or Barry, whichever one I feel like calling. But my point is this. The Beatitudes is how we live our life. It's the nature of God in us. If you want to walk in grace and mercy, just read the epistles and do them. If you want God's grace to include, if you want God's grace to increase in your life, just behold his grace and do his grace. It's funny, it says this in the end of Thessalonians. That just dawned on me in a side note. He said, make sure this epistle is read to all the brethren in Laodicea. Something, what did they say, Pastor? Something like that? Yes. Make sure this epistle is read to all the brethren in Laodicea. Then he said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Listen to what he said. Paraphrasing. Make sure that you read this epistle to the Laodiceans. May the grace of God be with you. And it dawned on me. And the grace of God be with you. And the grace of God be. What did he tell them to do before that? Make sure what? Make sure you read this epistle to the church at Laodicea. May the grace of God be with you. What did he call God's grace? The epistle being read. Because the epistle was the grace of God. You hear the epistle. You do the epistle. God's grace will be with you, my friends. Are you with me?
Yes.
It will be with you. Don't look too hard for grace. Behold the scriptures. Do the scriptures. And grace will be multiplied in your life.
Right.
You with me? So going through 5, 6, and 7, the Holy Ghost whispered that to me. Lord, right in the midst of in my hand, and next to me on the left side is my CD player, so the Beatitudes are fulfilled, Father, in my life as I behold Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I keep 5, 6, and 7 along with other epistles, other portions of Scripture. I know that. But the striving of my heart is to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like preaching. It's not my first love. You know what I like about preaching with my granddaughters, Jalen and Mia? Say, Grandpa, will you give us the Bible study tonight? Oh, that I love. That gets me so excited, man. Grandpa, you tell us about Jesus tonight? Said, yes, baby, I sure will. So I sit down and I go through 1 John with him. And I like preaching. But Matthew 5 to 7 has just rocked my world. And the sayings of Christ are in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Matthew 7, 26 says this. Starting in 26. He that hears my saying. Now I quote a lot in New King James because I have the Bible and CD on New King James. He that hears my sayings and does them, like him unto a man, a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the flood arose, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and they could not shake it, for it was what? Founded upon the rock. He that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. When the rain descended, the flood arose, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and great was the fall of it. So I've concluded that come hell or high water, I have found a pearl of great price. And it is not for sale. Afflictions, you can't have that pearl. Diverse temptations, you can't have that pearl. It's not for sale. It's in me. It's all that I got is this pearl of great price. I keep it with patience, with who fulminate. It's in me to shine and to bear fruit. And so that all may see that there is a God. And it's just not for gossip. You can't take it from me. It's a pearl of great price inside of me. Love for money. You can't take it. Matthew 5 to 7 covers a lot of ground. It talks about loving money and loving God. You can't do it. It talks about judging your enemy. You can't do it. There's so much in there. And it led me to this. The Beatitudes are kept to an extent that I fulfill Matthew 5, 6, 7. I behold it, I conform to it, and I walk in it. The striving of my heart is to be merciful and graceful like the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus said in chapter 4, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And he went about all Galilee preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease. He taught, he preached, he healed. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he shared the sayings of the kingdom. When the striving of your heart, and I'm going to get a little bit more, I'm going to get a little deeper into this. So when the striving of your heart is to be merciful, the striving of your heart is to be like Jesus. You can't wake up in the morning and desire to be like him if you're and not want more in his kingdom. I've learned this. The more I behold the scriptures, the more I'm conformed to the image of Christ, the more I walk in mercy and grace and love, and the less and less I walk in offense. And that's growing in me, man. I've lived in offenses before. I have. I'm not going to be hypocritical with you, but I have progressed a lot. I'll say that. I have progressed a lot because it's real hard to offend me. And if I am offended, I rejoice. You know why? You know why I rejoice if Ms. Gay offends me? Because I realize, being offended, that I got that much more to grow. I'll not... not offended that I'm not rejoicing that I'm offended, but I say, man, Homer, you got a long way. Boy, you better get over that offense. So if Ms. Gay irks me and I'm offended, I don't blame Ms. Gay. I blame myself for being offended, because my salvation came at a great price, man. A great price. So if you offend me, you don't have problems. I got the problem. So I'll just fast a little bit more. So I'll just stay in that closet a little bit more. So I'll just say to myself, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. I'll stay in that script. I'll stay on Mount Olivet. I'll stay in there. I won't leave. Like Alan Taylor once said, don't walk away from God. Walk into him. So if you irk me, if you even come close to offending me, I'll stop right there. It's okay, Lord. Sarah said this to me. She offended me. I got work to do. Because no matter what she said, it should never, ever, ever, ever offend me. If it does, I got work to do. Not on Sarah. I got work to do on myself. You don't believe me? Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read it more than once. Go through it, annihilate it. So if that's my disposition, that I want to be merciful and graceful like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if I want to be conformed to his image, there has to be more that follows that. Chapter 4, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. How? I'm going to preach, teach, and heal all manner of sickness and disease. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what he preached and taught. Matthew 8 and 9 is the power and glory of the kingdom. There's no way on God's green earth that you can desire to walk in mercy and more compassion and not want to see somebody healed. It does not add up. Okay, thank you. There's just no way you can desire to fast, pray in the spirit, and not want to see somebody healed. And it doesn't bother you when people are sick. It bothers the mess out of me. I'm in dialysis. People are there. They're talking about they're not scared of death. I hear that conversation all the time. Well, I'm not scared to die. I don't care if I die. They say that to themselves because you can feel, what word am I looking for? You can feel depression in there. You can feel it. The people, they're worn out. And I've heard it more than one time of, I don't care if I die. I'm not scared to die. I'm not scared of death. No. As long as I'm there, I'm going to speak life in that place. I'm going to speak life in that place. Because I can't behold Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and not want people to be healed. It does not, if you're not desiring more mercy and compassion, you could care less if people get healed. You could care less. The same mercy and compassion you have for people, the way you treat them is the same mercy and compassion inside of you that you want to see people get healed with. And I'll tell you this, the more I pray, the more I fast, I weep for the people in there. I weep. God, I said, there's got to be more. And I know I'm pressing into that more. I'm pressing into your mercy. I'm pressing into your compassion, Lord. Because I know what you would do, Lord Jesus Christ. If you were here, you'd walk into that room. You would heal every single one of them. But logic, a result of not seeing our, not here in general, not seeing our prayer. We pray for one with cancer and they die. So that must be the will of God. That must be God's sovereign will of God. No, man, that makes me mad when I hear that. That makes me very mad. I'll say this. I give my life to this gospel. The men that worked signs and wonders in the gospel didn't have a life. They didn't love mammon. They didn't love their wives, their husbands, more than anybody. They loved God. They had no will. I say to God, give me your grace, Lord. Give me your grace to walk into that place of self-denial, Lord. A place where my will is completely eradicated. Give me the grace to die on this mountain of praying and fasting and tongues and worship. I will die. Give me the grace, Lord. Simon Peter and Andrew, they forsook all that moment. James and John forsook all that moment. Let me forsake all, Lord, all my agendas, all my lusts in a broad sense to go into you as far as I can, Lord, as far as I can. Acts 20, in winding down, paraphrase. Paul said this, paraphrase. In every city that I walk into, there's troubles and anguish and bonds await me. But he said this, but I count not my life dear unto me. Listen to what he said, that I may finish with joy the race that is set before me. If you count your life dear to you, you will live an offended life. If you count your life dear to yourself, you will live a self-centered life. But without that Mount Olivet in your personal life, a habitual Mount Olivet, you will live an offended, dragged down, beat down, emotional life in Christ, even being born again and Holy Ghost filled. But if you find your Mount Olivet, my friend, you'll die in that prayer closet. Your will eradicate. Paul said, in every city, bonds and anguish, they await me. But my life is not dear unto me, that I may finish with joy the race that is set before me. If you do not have an Olivet, my friend, your life will be dear to you. And you won't walk this walk with joy. You'll be in torment. You'll be in anguish. You'll be double-minded. Everything people say about you will offend you. But if you go to your Mount Olivet every day, you won't count your own life dear unto you, and you'll finish this walk with Christ with joy for the race set before you, my friends. Matthew 5, 6. I know I'm stuttering a little bit today, but anyway. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 has been rocking my world. And the more I behold it, the more I'm conformed to it, the more and more mercy and grace that I walk in, the more and more it bothers me. When people are dying of sickness, it bothers me. It makes me weep. When people are in torment at dialysis, just their sugar so low, they're fainting, et cetera, saying, I don't care if I die or not. That bothers me. That bothers me. And the more I pray, I spent about 11 hours a day in the presence of God. And during those 11 hours, again, I'm not taking credit for being hungry. I was just being strung out on coffee. But in those 11 hours, I guarantee you, part of me was dying. More and more. I was counting my life not dear unto me during those 11 hours. I experienced the Mount Olivet today for 11 hours. And I guarantee you, in those 11 hours, my life was diminishing more and more and more and more to finish this race with joy. That's why I behold the scriptures real quick. Acts 16, in regards, a little testimony regarding dialysis. The Bible says that Paul and Silas, they were flogged with a bunch of stripes on them. But at midnight they sung hymns and sung songs of the Lord. The prisoners heard them, and there was an earthquake. To me, the scripture could have said, the prisoners heard them, but really and truly, the prisoners felt them. As they prayed and sung hymns, the prisoners heard them, but they did more than hear, my friends. They felt the anointing. And the shackles were loosed. Symbolic to me to an extent. When I am in dialysis, about the third hour, if you remember me on Tuesdays and Saturdays, I'm in dialysis from 11, about 4 or 5 hours. Remember me, man. The grace would strengthen me. About the third hour, I start getting real, real tired. Then I get real, real crazy. The music comes on. And I lift up my voice. I don't get too crazy. But they know what I stand for. And Paul and Silas, they prayed, sung hymns. There was an earthquake. The prisoners heard them. And all their shackles were loose from their feet. Me, just in my own way, when I pray and sing psalms, sing songs in dialysis, that third hour, I believe in my heart the shackles and torments are being loosed from those patients. As the anointing is released out of my being into that room. The other day, they call me the closer because I'm always the last one there. Something always happens to the machine. I'm always there last. So they call me, Homer, you're our favorite again. You're the closer. Said, oh, my God. So a lady got up before me named Mary. And the lady said, Mary, I'm almost done. Lady Mary said, bye to everybody. And they said, bye, Mary. We'll see you on Saturday. And I don't know who Mary is. I said, hey, Mary, I love you. She said, I love you back. I said, oh, okay. And she was real tired. Walked outside, me and David. And she said, I heard you singing in there. She said, it was beautiful. And trust me, I do not have a beautiful voice. But when I worship my King, the presence of God comes. And I believe that chains and bondages are being loosed from my friends. And I believe hope is being deposited in their spirit. Why? Because I pray and sing psalms. And I believe there's an earthquake in their heart because of the worship that I offer up. Even when I'm exhausted. All of a sudden, grace starts kicking in. The third hour, I get stronger. The fourth hour, I get stronger. My voice gets, my hand gets right here. I can't lift this because I got needles in there. But I can lift this one like a dummy. One hand up, one hand down. And I just begin to weep, and I could care less. I begin to sing Hallelujah by Alvin Slaughter over and over and over and over and over. See, I heard you. It was beautiful. I believe when I sing, chains are being broken in those people in that place. That's what I believe. Why? I have a mount, all of that. I'm going to go home, try to go to sleep, and wake up again at 5:30 and do it again. No coffee. So I love you. I know this was not a deep revelation. It was basic. Basic, but find your mount, all of it. Count your life not dear unto yourself. Seek to finish with joy the race that is set before you. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Wow, always enjoy. Word. Glory to God. Love everyone that is with us tonight. Awesome, Homer. It was just really so great. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Hallelujah. 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 So Homer started to express, and he's just waiting on the presence of God to say anything or the release. But and I won't put her on the spot, but Rosie, you got an incredible testimony coming up. So just a great report. A great report on Monday. So praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the miracle worker. Hallelujah. Homer, that was so good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand. We love everyone here and those that are watching so much. You have heard the word of God, and we can't improve on that. It was just excellent. Hallelujah. Father, bless everyone going home. The power of God rest upon us. Immokalee is in revival. In Jesus' name, amen.